Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
God is good. God is faithful. And I'm going to tell you already that this message has been on our hearts for a very long time. And this was just a week. God confirmed it. The title of the message is actually pretty much the message itself. I have three questions this morning for you. But the first one is the title: where will you spend eternity? I have a second question, and I'm just going to select someone randomly from the office audience, and I've said, where will you spend eternity? I have a second question. What's the second question, random person, Pastor Ken?
Oh, I'm the random person. Well, I love the first question, where will you spend eternity? I can't think of a more important question except for what, if that's the most important question, which it's very important, where will you spend? The second question has got to be, and are you ready for it? Are you sure?
That's the question. I have a third question that I'm saving until the end of the service. I have a third question. The first one is, where will you spend eternity? The second is, are you sure? But there is a third question that's most important. The title actually is unusual because it's a question, and if you were to go home right now, this would have an impact on your life if you meditated this part of the message, where will you spend eternity? It may be one of the most important messages that we ever will preach, and I don't say that lightly either, because this is not a question that you should ask yourself one time. This is a question you should ask yourself continually: where will I spend eternity? Because we are not going to live forever with Christ just because we say a certain phrase of words that a minister has requested that we say. Agreed? It's a sobering question simply for this reason. Eternity is a very long time. Actually, eternity is something that physiologically your own mind cannot comprehend what eternity is. At some point, it cuts off, just like Tony knows about counting. It cuts off and your mind's like, no, there's no more. No, eternity is something we can't comprehend. And I asked Gio to put these on the screen for us because this week it was a sobering reminder of eternity, and it just broke my heart as we prayed for days for these five people that you see on the screen that were in the submersible and waited for those people to enter eternity and die, while social media basically mocked them with no compassion. We waited for them to die, and they were all huddled together. That's like a little small minivan that they were in. There was no room to stretch out. They're all sitting there side by side waiting to die. And the thought occurred to me that here we are all together, and it's no different. One by one, we go home. And it is a sobering fact. So I asked the question as a Christian to myself, how much do you have to hate someone to not preach the gospel to them or remind them of the gospel that they should live? How much do you have to hate someone? And this another question is, a lot of questions today, and how old are you right now? How old are you? We're talking about birthdays this morning. How old are you right now? And the Bible tells us we must be saved. Not we could be saved, we should be saved, we should consider being saved. We must be saved. Romans 10, 9-10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. Romans 10, 13. For whomsoever shall call sincerely upon the name of the Lord, they will be saved. And Romans 10, 17 said that faith comes by hearing, and the word of hearing by the word of God. And are you aware that 150,000 people on earth enter heaven or hell every single day? And there's not three or four choices of where to go. There are two choices even a child can understand. There's not 34 or 24. And no, God does not choose hell for anyone, but he absolutely respects our freedom to choose heaven or hell. And here's how short life is, and I'm going to turn this to Pastor Ken. King David said this. In fact, it begins with Psalm 39, 4 to 9, 5. King David said, "Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting and fast my life is. You have made my days a mere handbreadth, and the span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. We are one breath and one heartbeat away from entering eternity."
Wow, that's powerful stuff. It's stuff to think about. What is the new birth? The new birth is dying to self and selfishness. The new birth is dying to your old self. And you know, someone says, what's the exact prayer for the new birth? There was a time, you know, Jesus said people think they'll be heard for their much repeating of words and repeating of religious phrases. I remember there was a controversy years ago in a church I belonged to about the magic words to say when baptizing someone. And there were people saying, "Did you say in Jesus' name?" Or, "Did you say in the name of the Father, Son?" They were getting down to, if you didn't say it just perfect, you weren't making heaven. Could you imagine living your life as a Christian and you're like ready to go into heaven and God said, "You know, you messed up. You said Jesus, but you were supposed to say the Son and the whole, you didn't say." So there is no memorized thing. It's accepting God with your heart. It's accepting Jesus as your Savior. And the new birth is an amazing, it's a radical thing. It, you know, Pam, we were talking in the office about ministry schools, which I went to a ministry school. I went to Rhema, and there's wonderful ministry schools throughout the country. Andrew Womack has one, Christ for the Nations. But sometimes in ministry schools, the students are thinking, "I will go to ministry school. I will become a televangelist. I will have a ministry. I'll have an airplane with my name on it. I'll have a van. I'll have a team. I'll have a church. I'll have..." And they're thinking of ministry as something like a business they build. They're thinking of ministry like I'll build. I mean, I would. Could you imagine? This is Ken Bonner Ministries. How could you have Ken Bonner Ministries? You can only have Jesus Christ Ministries. I can't imagine. But anyway, my point is that anything in ministry is not about us. It's not about our name in lights. Ministry is often not pretty either. It's hardly ever pretty. It's being down in the dirt. It's meeting with hurting people. It's not picking and choosing the people that we relate to, or even the people that we love, or even the people that, if we only love certain groups of people. Isn't it amazing that God loves the whole world? The whole world. He didn't say except for that one group of people. Pam gave me a statistic that every day 250,000 people die. She said it was 150,000 every single day, 150,000 every day. And that number almost doesn't mean anything. But if you think, well, the average sports stadium holds about 40,000 people, that's like four stadiums every day that just goes. I think that so often when people die, it's without any kind of warning. It's something that one second they're alive and the next minute. And what I mean by that is there's no time to say, okay, let's pray. There's no time to think. I mean, at least if someone pushed you off a 100-story building, you'd have time. Believe it or not, you could turn to God. But what happens when it just happens? And you have a stroke, you fall into a coma. You don't have time. We don't really have an appreciation about hell, do we? Because it's for eternity. Neither do we have an appreciation about heaven because it's eternity. Boy, I wish that each person could spend 5 minutes in heaven and 5 minutes in hell to know the reality of that. Yet we sometimes even say, oh, that person can just go to hell. when someone says that, it's a lack of appreciation of what they're saying. Because we, if we really understand the horrors and the torture and the separation from God and the darkness and the loneliness and the eternity of it all, it would break our hearts. There's no one that we wish. I wish that every person could turn to God, and that's the beauty of salvation. Every person can turn to God. There are some truths that we need to get out today. Although there's confusion in the world about what religion is, and people want to water this down so much that there's no wine left. It is just the most watered down wine you ever tasted. What does the world say about religion? I'm religious. I was invited one time to go to a New Age church, and I went. And the name of Jesus wasn't mentioned once. The whole service was like this. The pastor said, imagine the stream of consciousness. Imagine the light, and you're one with the light. You're flowing with the light. You're flowing right to hell because there is a name that you can't just water it down. And people say, well, I don't like that truth. I've learned about life that if you want truth, you got to be in a courtroom. And in God's courtroom, people tell the truth. Just like in the courtroom. You want to know what the truth is? Don't listen to the press conference outside the court. Listen to what they told the judge in the court. That's the truth. And we can't hide the truth from God. The truth of who we are. Even our good deeds could be exposed with wrong motives. It's all a question of the heart. And so here's my truths for you today. There is only one truth, and that is the Word of God. You may have all sorts of different beliefs and sorts of different theories, and you may have knowledge that is the truth. You may have knowledge in math and science. You may have knowledge, but let me tell you, the one thing that you know is the truth is the Word of God. And God did not call me and say, Pastor Ken, should there be a hell? Pastor Ken... When Job was questioning God, God said, where were all you people that are questioning? Why did God do it this way? And why did God do it that way? God had a question for Job. It was like, Job, listen to this. When we question God, this is what God says to you. Because insert your name there. When we're so smart that we're like, I don't believe in the Word. I don't believe in hell. I don't believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. I don't believe that that's the only way to do it. When we question God, God would say to you, where were you when I was creating the stars? Where was your wisdom? Why didn't you advise me then? Where were you when I created the heaven and the earth? And the answer is we have no answer. He alone is God. That's our truth. That's our foundation. That's the way to heaven. One way to heaven. Many ways to hell.
We don't talk about this enough because it's wonderful to talk about heaven because you could ask anyone, where are you going? Do you want to go to heaven? Of course you do. But if you don't tell everyone the truth and you don't warn them about hell, then you do not care for that individual. We need to talk about the things of God. The Bible says, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. And we think too much about things of the earth. We care too much, you know. And people ask all the time, we're so concerned about, what's my destiny? God's got a destiny for me. Am I going to be like an Esther? Am I going to be like a Daniel? What's my destiny? We need to be more concerned with our destination than we are our destiny. But I can tell you what our purpose is because we have it engraved on that pulpit that I'm looking at right here. It's facing Pastor Ken and I. To know Jesus Christ and to make him known, whether that's by word, deed, the example, how we live. That's our purpose in life, to preach the good news of salvation, heal the sick, cast out the demons, pick one. Raise the dead back to life. That's physically, that's spiritually, for the church to rise up. I prayed this week that every one of those five men that were in the Titan would have the same, God give them the same opportunity of grace and mercy that you gave me. And that's what my prayer was. Give them that time because we do not know. And Ken said, it happened so suddenly. Something God put on my heart as I was typing this was, to live and die is a natural process. But to die and never have lived is tragic. To never have lived for God is a tragic life. It is a life that was wasted, completely wasted, that doesn't even matter. And I personally, unfortunately, or good, have been with so many people who have died, and then I do funerals too, but I've been with so many people as they were dying, and I even recently, Jesse, and not one time has anyone ever said, could you bring me my wallet? Could I have a gold bar to hold? If Frida was just dying of cancer in the final stages and I went to see her, she's not going to say, did you bring my jewelry box? Could we go through my stuff? No one cares. At that moment, all we need is the truth and the assurance that we're going to. You know, we used to sing a song as a child from the hymn book that said, when we all get to heaven. And I love that song, but we used to sing it even as preachers told us that all were not going to heaven. There is still the hope that all could go to heaven because Jesus said, it's not my will that any should perish. That's what he said. And he said, he's going to prepare a place for us that I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. I have a friend, Haley, who's dying of cancer that I met online. She is dying. And her husband posts day by day, Haley's still fighting. Her time is short. And they're spending, she has one little boy, Weston, and they're spending as much time with each other as they can. They're not going through their things. They never talk about their 401k. They are just spending time together. But Jesus said something interesting that I found interesting, Pastor Ken. He said in John 14, 1-3, do not let your hearts be troubled. Troubled, there is the translation, is tormented. Don't let yourself be tormented. Trust in God, trust in me also, for in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, there are no rooms. I'm not going to prepare anything. This is it. I'm going to prepare a place. If I prepare a place, I'm coming back. I'm going to take you back with me. Why did Jesus say the words, don't be tormented about the afterlife, about death? Because that's the number one fear of people when you get right down to it. When the doctor says, you know, this happened or that happened or this might happen. Even if a doctor says this could happen. Right away, your thoughts move to death. But we can't avoid the question, where will I spend eternity?
So, it's not death we should fear, it's hell.
That's right.
The fear should be, what if I die and I have to go before the Lord and I'm standing there and I say, I went to Christian Fellowship Church and I handed out tracts and I gave to the poor. What if Jesus were to say seven words to me? He's going to say seven words to everybody. The first seven are, well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's seven. But there's another seven you don't want to hear. Depart from me, I never knew you. Or, who are you? That three words. Who are you? Pam had a quote from Aristotle. He said, this new Christianity religion is so successful because when one of them passes away, the others sing and they praise and they rejoice just as if that person was just going from one place to another. David said this. He said, when I open my eyes, I will be satisfied. He was talking about heaven. What is it like when you go to heaven? It's like waking up. That's what David said. He opened his eyes. Do you ever remember when you were a child, when you were like 6 years old, and you would fall asleep in the front room or in the car, and you'd wake up in your bed? Like, how did I get into this bed? Because when you fell asleep, your father carried you home to your room. And if when you fall asleep on this earth, your heavenly father is going to carry you to your home. And when you'll say like David, when I open my eyes, I will be satisfied. And as Paul said, you can't describe it. There's no words. There's no words in English. It's going to be better than we could ever imagine. Nobody wants to believe that this earth is all there is. No one wants to believe that I get up, I go to work, I come home, I pay my bills, you know. No one wants to believe that. You want the truth about the reality of life? It's this life that's temporary. I'll prove it to you. 20 years ago, you bought a 3,000-pound metal car that was brand spanking new. It was beautiful 20 years ago. Where is that thing? It's in the junkyard somewhere. How can a piece of metal deteriorate in 20 years? You see your picture from 20 years ago? How can a piece of flesh deteriorate in 20? We're all getting older. Everything on this earth is temporary. Great structures of man have to be torn down and rebuilt. The Bible in so many places, Colossians and Revelation and Ephesians, says the reality is heaven. Set your reality, your thoughts and your affection on things of the earth, the real. That's the real. The fact that it's a spirit world doesn't make it any less real. In heaven, you have a body, you have hands, you eat food, you pick things up, you move them around. It's just no more crime, no more sorrow, no more tears. It's just amazing. So we know that there's a hope of something other than just this life. And that's the new birth. Yes. And that's yes. Having a revelation that we belong to the kingdom of God. Thank God for the hope of heaven. But question two must be answered. Are you sure? Charles Wesley, one of the greatest preachers of all time, probably has more salvations than just about anybody else on the planet. Someone didn't know who he was and said, "Sir, do you know Jesus as your Savior and are you going to heaven?" And Charles Wesley did not say, "Don't you know who I am?" Charles Wesley, when he was asked that question, he said he seriously considered the answer, "Am I going to heaven?" I think we should have confidence in salvation, but at the same time, even the very elect can fall. We can't have a blind spot that if we're a Christian, and by the way, if ever you are condemned in your own heart by your own actions or even by living a false life, boy, do I have good news for you. That salvation is there right away for any of us.
Do you know who the happiest man on the planet today is? Because I do. It's the man who decided not to get on the Titan, who changed his mind. You talk about mercy and grace. I'd be on my knees for the rest of my life, thanking God. Now that's sobering that I just got saved. That's us. That's us. Thank you, Jesus. So I have a scenario to propose to you. Suppose Pastor Ken comes to me and he said, "I'm going to move to Florida. I'm planning on moving to Florida. I'm excited about it. There's wonderful people in Florida. I'm planning on moving to Florida or Hawaii." Let's take Hawaii. So he's planning on moving to Hawaii. And he tells me, and I'm sad. I'm like, "I'm really going to miss you." And he's like, "But I'm going to see some wonderful people, some amazing people. I know some people in Florida, and I'm going to meet some new people." And I say to him, "Oh, that's so exciting. Are you taking Leslie and the kids? You're all moving to Florida." "No, I'm going myself. I'm just moving to Hawaii." I'm like, "No, that is unacceptable, isn't it? Is that unacceptable to you? It is to me. How about heaven? If not for you, wouldn't you love for your children to go there? Wouldn't you love to take your children with you? That's the reason that we should live for God." You know, that's our first ministry. Pastor Ken was talking about ministry, is to make sure our children are saved. I heard a very touching story this week. Of course, these people were Christians. It's a true story. It was a man who had lost his wife after a cancer struggle, and he had his three small children in the car with him. And the youngest in particular was about 7 years old, and he was really struggling with the death of his mother. And he was crying in the car on the way home from the funeral of his mother. And he told his dad, he said, I just can't take this. I can't deal with this. Mom's not here, and I don't know what happened to Mom. And the very wise man said, he said, do you see that big semi-truck ahead of us? And he said, yes. The little boy said, yes. He said, do you see the shadow of the truck? And he said, yes. He said, would you rather get hit by the truck or the shadow? And the little boy said, I'd rather get hit by the shadow. He said, honey, Mom got hit by the shadow. But praise God, Jesus got hit by the truck. Jesus got hit by the truck. And Mom only got hit by the shadow. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For the Lord God, you are with me. For the Christian, death, the Bible says, O death, where is your victory? You don't have any victory, death, over me. O death, where is your sting? Because death is just a mere shadow. It really is going from one place to the other with great excitement. 1 Corinthians 15:55. It is hard when I've preached so many funerals at this church and other places. It is so hard when I'm preaching the message of someone who's went home to be with the Lord, because in the natural, I'm so sad. And in the spirit, I just want to dance and shout at Pastor Gill's. You know, when I won't ever forget preaching, never trust a man without a limp, because he's not limping no more. And that was just so powerful to me to think of that. But the enemy doesn't like us to talk about hell, and because he's going there too. That's why he don't want us to talk about it, because he's going there too. But he absolutely doesn't want us to tell you about preparing to go for heaven, because he ain't going there. He got cast out of heaven. And one exciting thing to me about eternity is this. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place, and I get to prepare to go while Jesus is preparing a place. We're all preparing for that day. And I love when company comes, if I'm expecting you, because I'll prepare for you. I'll prepare a meal like Jesus. I'll get your room ready. I'll make it nice. Prepare. And we should be preparing. Jonathan Edwards said something that impacted me in one of his sermons. It was actually Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, which I don't like the title of. But he said, this life should be lived as a journey towards heaven, and everything else is subordinate to that and doesn't really matter much.
Have you ever went somewhere that you've just felt so uncomfortable and you just kept saying to yourself, I don't belong here. I don't belong in this place. That's the Holy Spirit, right? If you go somewhere you don't belong, the Holy Spirit's saying, this isn't my place. These aren't my people. Me and Leslie went on one cruise several years ago, the only cruise I've been on, but we enjoyed it. But the last port we stopped in at some other country, and they said, everyone can get off the ship, but we're leaving at 3:00. And they said, we want to repeat, we leave at 3:00. And then they said, now just in case you're not clear, this boat leaves at 3:00. Okay? So you're getting off the ship, but understand that we leave at 3:00. And they really stressed that. So at about 3:00, I went onto the deck of the ship as we were leaving. It's kind of cool to be leaving. And about 3:05, here we are. We're chugging along. We're clear of the dock. And here you see people running for the boat. And you know what? It already left. There was that shock of, wow, I missed this. But they didn't expect to miss it. They were sure they had a place, that they had a space, that they had a cabin, that they belonged, but they missed the boat. And the last words of Jesus, I told you, is, I'm coming soon. Behold, I'm coming soon. We're supposed to live like the intelligent, the 10 virgins. There was 5 of them that did not prepare ahead of time. 5 of them prepared ahead of time. We are here's the thing. If you went to your doctor and the doctor said to you, I have bad news, you have a terminal disease, you would think that's really bad news. So I'm going to give you some bad news today. You have a terminal disease. You do. Pam, seventh grade, Mrs. Drouse. She, never thought I'd quote her in a message.
I didn't either.
She once gave me a negative 99 on a paper. I'm like, oh, come on. You could have given... No! She was just being mean. I mean, Tony, a zero would have been, come on, it's a zero. But to go negative 99, I mean, that's, okay. So she, boy, I never proved her wrong, did I? So thanks, ChatGPT, for helping me out. So she, but this is what she said. It was a weird thing to say to seventh graders, but it was still true. She said, the second that a child is born, when a child takes their first breath, she said, they begin a path towards death. I know that's dark, but this is what she said. She said, the first breath the baby takes, the new baby, it breathes in just a little bit of impurities, and the body has to start fighting it immediately. We do have a terminal disease. If you go, no, we don't, then introduce me to your 300-year-old great-grandmother. Where is she? Everybody, it is appointed unto man, wants to die. And you'll notice that when God said, in the day you eat, you will surely die, God really made a point of that. And his name was Jeff, and he died. And his name was Tom, and he died. It just over and over in Genesis, and he died, and he died, and he died. Why does it say that? Because God told us that that's the way that it happens. So we have to be ready. Heaven is the dwelling place of God. When you talked about Satan, that's his home, he wants to drag you down with him. And like I said, there's places you don't belong. Church, you don't belong in hell. You belong in heaven. And when we do this altar call, Pam, we're going to pray the three questions, which we don't know the third one yet, but I'm going to finish mine right here. And she'll tell us the third. But when we pray, I want you to remember two things. Pray not only for yourself, but parents.
That's right.
Everybody here needs, there's no one exempt from this altar call because you're like, oh, I'm sure I'm saved. Then be an intercessor. If you're sure you're saved or not sure you're saved, doesn't matter. Pray for yourself. Make your calling and election sure. And pray, stand in the gap. Pray for that person that you think will never be saved. Because you don't get to make that judgment. Sometimes the people that are the furthest from God are the ones that are the most ready. Believe me, that's true. People on death row may be more ready to accept God than someone making $200,000 a year because there's the reality of that.
Pastor Ken's going to play, and I'd like to invite you to stand, and we're going to do something a little bit different, unusual, if you will. I would like you to all come up here, to stand up here for the last part at the altar, for the last part of this sermon, for this message. We're going to do an altar call, and it's for everyone. It's for absolutely everyone that would like to come forward. We're going to do this, and today's the day of salvation. How would you like to get saved all over again? How would you like to say yes to Jesus one more time, since we're not promised tomorrow? I want to tell you a story first. I read a story of a man, and this man had a ticket to go on a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful vacation, okay? He had a ticket, and every day and every week he would check his ticket in the drawer, and he would see, is the ticket still there? Do I still have my ticket? And his wife came to him and she said, you are a fool. You are a foolish, foolish man to check that ticket every day. And one day he went to the drawer, and guess what happened? Someone had taken his ticket. He lost his ticket. Can you lose your salvation? The Bible says in Revelation, you have lost your first love. You've lost your first love. The Bible says in Matthew that in that day, many, many will say, They will come and they will say, I did this in your name. I did that in your name. And he will say, I had no relationship with you. I don't know you. I do not know you. It is possible to lose our salvation. We can't afford to do that. The first question was, where will I spend eternity? The second question was, are you sure? And the third question is, would you like to be sure? Just shake your head, yes. I want to be sure. I'm going to say a prayer, and I'm going to ask you to pray it in agreement. Heavenly Father, I believe that you are the one true and living God. I believe you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to suffer for my salvation, that you would pay the price for my sins. I repent of my sins, Father God, sins of the past, sins of the present, sins to come. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. I ask you to save me, Father God, from the punishment of my sins by the power of your Holy Spirit. I receive you in my heart today. Help me, Lord. Heal me, Lord. Keep me, Lord, in your care. All the days of my life, I commit to serve you. Father God, in the good times and in the bad times, no matter what happens, Father, in the earth or in my personal life, Father God, I will serve you until I draw my last breath. I will check the ticket, Father God. I'm going to regularly check in with you, God, to make sure that we're okay, that you will never say those words to me, depart, but you will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy salvation. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Father God, because in every crowd, at every funeral, when I'm at the gravesite, I look around and tell the people, someone is next, and it could be anyone. I preached a funeral, people, about 2 years ago of a friend of my husband, Dave's, a truck driver friend of one of his relatives, his wife. I preached a funeral, and as I closed the funeral, the woman, the mother in the front row, hit the ground and had a heart attack on the spot right there. You do not know when it's your time. And so we want to be sure. We need to be sure. You can walk away from God. People tell you once saved, always saved. That's not true. You have a choice every day of your life whether I'm going to serve Jesus or whether I'm going to turn away. And my choice is to serve Jesus. Father, I now bless your people, Father God. Father God, make your face shine upon them. Father God, be gracious unto them. Have mercy on them. Bless them, Father God, with the blessings of heaven, Father God. Use them each in your kingdom. Father God, we're not asking to be famous, Lord. We're asking to be fruitful, Father God. In the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you that we stand at the cross today, Father God. We thank you for your blood. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Mike, the question I asked myself as we dismissed today, this morning when God had put this on my heart yesterday to do this altar call, I was saying, but God, I'm sure, and here's what the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Can you be too sure? Are we, you know, because when I'm too sure, that means I'm lifted up in pride. That means when I say, I'm so sure. Oh, you ask me, Willie, if I'm going to heaven? Of course I'm going to heaven. For goodness sakes, why would you ask me such a... No, like Charles Wesley, can we be too sure? The answer is no. I want assurance, but I want to make sure with God because the enemy is deceitful. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity. And Father God, for anyone who didn't receive it, tonight's another opportunity, and tomorrow night will be another. God willing, in the name of Jesus, go in peace. We love you all. If you need anything, if you need to talk, just give us a call or text us, whatever. We love you guys. Bye.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries, a Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.